I want to read to you today from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, and verses, I'm going to begin with verse 25 and go through to 27. And so John 19, and beginning here at verse 25. Hear the reading of God's holy word. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. I've been speaking to the last words of Jesus, and I'm going to continue that through the Maundy Thursday service. And then on Easter Sunday, I'm going to speak to the first words of Jesus. And the significance of all of these words are important. Now, it doesn't mean that Jesus just says one word. The words are the phrasings that Jesus speaks. And for today, I hope to concentrate on this where he says, "Dear woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." Now, I want to first just say where he says, "woman," a lot of times we get the impression of somebody wearing a wife beater t-shirt and saying, "woman, get me a sandwich," you know, kind of thing. This is an endearing word that Jesus is using. If we go back to look at it, the phrasing "woman" here isn't meant to be derogatory, but it is to point to her. And it is an endearing term that is used here in this part of Scripture. In no way are we to phrase it in that kind of derogatory instance here. Because what Jesus is doing is demonstrating caring from the cross. Now, as I go developing sermons, whether I'm reading a newspaper article or seeing something on TV, God will put things in my pathway that go, "Hey, that's it." It's just like I'm already marking things that I will preach on for Easter and stuff. Some things I won't use, but some will come and say, that's it. That's what needs to be said that matches up with the Scriptures. I read this article from this lady who titled her article, "What is Coffee? What is My Coffee?" And she wrote it explaining a cold day in December at a funeral home. And there was a line stretching out, say, 30 yards. Outside the funeral home, there were so many people coming, and over these couple of hours, that line just stayed there. And people were bundled up as tight as they could be, and scarves and jackets and gloves. And lo and behold, somebody began serving coffee to all these cold people who are huddled waiting in line to get inside the funeral home for a longer line to just meet the family, to do a little something that just said we care. No one knew who this person was that was offering coffee. It wasn't anybody from the funeral home itself. They hadn't arranged to serve coffee to everybody that was waiting outside. But someone was there, and everybody remarked afterwards, "Does anybody know who was serving coffee?" Nobody knew. But there was a person there serving coffee to all those cold people. It was just a little something that they could do. A couple of years goes by, and this woman who wrote this article said she visited the flower shop across the street from the funeral home. It wasn't their business to make coffee, but she had this suspicion that it was this person who had made the coffee. And so she said, "Do you remember this day?" And tell this story and said, "I have a suspicion that you were that gentleman that made the coffee." And he said, "Yes, I was." I said, "I saw all those people cold outside. And I didn't know, I wanted to do something, and I didn't have anything that I could really do except make coffee." So he made coffee over those couple of hours, and he went out there himself and he served coffee. Just a little something. She went on to say, you know, "Thank you, of course." But she said, "That funeral was for my 16-year-old son." And she was so appreciative of that kindness, of that caring. It doesn't take a lot for us to care, does it? Who was at the cross? Mary. It tells us the four women that were there, Mary Magdalene. They all come from different backgrounds. The one disciple, John. It doesn't take a lot to show and demonstrate caring, does it? It didn't matter to the background of any of these women that were there. Jesus exhibited caring from the cross. And when we offer care to others, it's not because of what someone's background. Are they good enough to deserve caring? No, it is about just caring for others. Because God demonstrated it from the cross, we too should demonstrate it to one another, and we should demonstrate it to those in the community. It is a part of our DNA as Christians that we said yes to God, we said yes to how God acts. And God acted with such caring on the cross. When Jesus could have, as he hung on the cross, just thought negative thoughts, thought to be hopeless, thought to be selfish, what does he do? Instead, he is constantly thinking about others. Remember, as we spoke, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And to the thief on the cross, "This day you shall be with me in paradise." And now to today, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." This doesn't seem like a lot, but it is no accident what Jesus is speaking here. Remember that as Jesus was before the Pharisees, he didn't speak. He was like a sheep, a lamb before the slaughter. He was silent. And I began thinking, why is he silent there? Because they are accusing him of being the Son of God. He's not denying it. He is the Son of God. He is the one who would die on the cross. And he is the one who would rise from the grave that no one else could do. No one else could accomplish except Jesus. But here on the cross, when it would benefit him to be silent, it would help ease some of the pain. Here he utters over these several hours several things to those who were there and who could hear and who could record these later on what was said. Now, as Jesus hung on the cross, to those that were there before him, he was probably no further away than me right here than to the first pew down there, to those who could hear. So that here Jesus is uttering, "Woman, behold thy son. Here is your mother." There's great caring and compassion. There's significance in these words. Now keep in mind, we all know what Jesus went through prior to being hung on the cross. He's already been beaten. He's already unrecognizable. His eyes are swollen. The crown of thorns is upon his head. It's not a comfort to him. He's been whipped by a cat of nine tails. He's been struck upon the face by the people who would be his own. And every time he has to lift up with his feet in which they are nailed to this cross, he, in order to move his diaphragm, in order to open up the lungs and so air could go in to keep life going from moment to moment, to utter words would cause more of that strain and that pain and that struggle. And Jesus demonstrates this for you. He chose the cross. And for his mother, this one little act is an act of caring. And if he can show one little act of caring to one person here, he most definitely is demonstrating caring to you and me. And we too in kind should be likened unto Christ. And we too should demonstrate caring to others. So Mary is about 45 to 47 years old here. You keep in mind that when Jesus was born, and this is about when he's 33 years old. And you kind of add up how old Mary was when Jesus was born. So she's about 45, 46, 47 years old. Where the average lifespan for a person was probably in the 20s. The average in that day and time. She's a widow. Joseph is no longer there. He's not in the picture. He hasn't gone off. He hasn't divorced or anything. He has died. She is a widow. That's why Jesus is saying this as a son of Mary, the eldest son of Mary, who's supposed to be the one taking care of Mary as a widow. His brothers had, at this point, weren't believers and followers of Jesus. It was only after the resurrection that they became followers. So Jesus doesn't ask them. He asks John here, a cousin. "Woman, behold your son. Here is your mother," as he looked at the disciple. And you can think of how much effort that took just to say these words. How much pain. He wasn't thinking of himself. He was thinking of someone else through caring. And he was thinking of making sure that his mother had a home to go to and some connection. There wasn't Social Security. There wasn't some governmental program. There wasn't an automatic. Just like a lot of people, even through Social Security, are never cared for. How many people in the nursing home get regular visits? Well, we know some. You visit your mom regularly. But not everybody. Probably more people in the nursing home that never get a visit. More people who are shut-ins that never get a comment or a phone call. Or very rarely. It doesn't take a lot to show caring. And through caring, we hope that people are transformed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a state in India, just like we have states here in the United States, a state in India in which they've put into law that Christians cannot pray for healing. Yes. It's against the law to pray for healing. Now, the reason behind it is very secular. It's because they believe that those who are espousing this believe, well, the Muslims need to be Muslims, and the Hindus need to be Hindus, and the Christians need to be Christians, and this prayer of healing is trying to convert others. That's kind of thinking that you're just born into whatever you are. No, we all determine. We all determine. If we go back in history, we were a pagan people. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ that somewhere along the line that someone said yes to Jesus. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that I, as a child, said yes to Jesus. It was not because my parents had said yes. It was not because my grandparents had said yes to Jesus. I had to determine on my own that Jesus was indeed Lord. He died on the cross for my sin. And he rose from the grave to demonstrate the power of his love. Why would anyone want to stop caring? That's how absurd our world gets today. Jesus demonstrated caring from the cross. Compassion, love, power, all of the above. It is his means of his passion and love for us to forgive us of our sin. And he demonstrates caring because it is a part of who God is, God's character, and it should be a part of the character of the Christian person as well. Think this week, as we're approaching Easter, as we're approaching Good Friday, how can I demonstrate caring to those I meet? Lord, let that character in me be changed to be like you or more like you. To demonstrate the caring that Jesus demonstrated from the cross, when he could have thought selfishly, when he could have taken himself from the cross, he instead was always thinking of others, and he was always thinking of you. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, let us attach to ourselves the character of caring that you so displayed on the cross. Forgive us, O God, of our many sins. It is we who placed you on the cross. It is all of humanity that placed you there. But it is you, O God, who chose to stay there and who chose to be salvation to us and chose caring even from the cross. O Heavenly Father, how we can trust that you are a caring God this day because you demonstrated care and love from the cross. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.